Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I trust everybody's well. I trust everybody's doing good. Brian, happy birthday. That was Mapes, who was pulling double duty yesterday on his birthday.
You mean that was Mapes, like, he did you. Two shows like he does every Monday through Friday?
No, he did longer shows. He took over a 3-hour show. Did he not do Dale's show yesterday?
No, he didn't do Dale's show yesterday. He did Paul and your show.
How long is Dale's show?
Two hours.
How long is our show?
3 hours.
It's extra labor on his birthday.
Well, I mean, 1 hour. You want to give him a war medal?
Wow.
Yeah, you took the day off.
Salty at you today.
Yeah, I did take the day off. I had a day to take.
Took the day off. Made Mapes work an extra hour on his birthday. That's
fine.
Worse than me not giving dudes gifts.
Did you wish him a happy birthday?
I did.
Did you verify that, Joel? Because I know
he absolutely did. Okay. Yeah, he was very staunch on the fact there no gifts were involved and they wouldn't.
Well,
be.
I wouldn't
expect
that.
But he did
that.
Wish him a happy birthday. We both did, and Sean was pleased.
I was big at Jeremy. He's not big on telling dudes happy birthday.
Oh, I know.
I'll tell you happy birthday if I see you. I'm not going to call you or ring you or text you, but if I see you in person and it's your birthday and somebody else told you happy birthday, that way I know it's your birthday, then I'll tell you happy birthday.
There's the other part.
I'm willing to tell you. So if I know it's your birthday and I see you, I'm going to wish you a happy birthday. I'm not evil, but I'm not going to seek it out. Like, hey, and put it on my calendar, you know? Well, that's weird. Rockets won a basketball game yesterday. Go Rockets. I'm away, by the way. I'm on a remote. Where in the world is Branham, San Diego? First one to text, Twitch, YouTube, tweet. We'll give you a T-shirt at our next remote if we have any left in your size. But anyways, Rockets win a basketball game yesterday. They even the series, you know, must-win-ish, must-win-adjacent, however you want to describe that game yesterday. Rockets really controlled it, had no problems in a Game 2 victory.
Yeah, no, very much what you had to get done that we talked about yesterday. It was a must-win scenario in my mind, and they got the job done. We can talk about Jimmy Butler. We can talk about the other factors, but let's not miss the fact that from the jump, literally, the Rockets were in control. They were playing their style. They were playing up-tempo. Guys that struggled in Game 1 were making shots. Some of them, thankfully, weren't taking as many shots. And overall, that was the kind of performance that they needed that it can really catapult them going forward, because it wasn't just about winning Game 2 for them. It was about the fact that they were effective playing their style of basketball against that team, and they got guys going that they had to get going.
Yeah, to me, this was very similar to Game 1. Whoa, what are you talking about? How is this similar to Game 1? They controlled the areas of the game last night that they did in Game 1. They controlled I think there are certain predictable numbers that actually project a series better than, like, shooting percentage. Because I think shooting percentage can be sometimes random. I mean, good shooting teams are going to shoot better than bad shooting teams. Teams that have good defenses are going to force their opponent to shoot less than teams that have bad defenses. So, like, it all kind of bakes in. But the Rockets in Game 1 were really good at rebounding the basketball. They were really good at points in the paint. Where did they struggle? They struggled in shooting. They struggled turning the ball over. They struggled individual performance. And that's what cost them Game 1. Yesterday, the rebounding, they were plus 14. They out-rebounded Golden State by 14 again. I would be stunned at this point if there's a single game in this series where the Rockets don't win the rebounding battle by at least double digits.
I totally agree with that.
Because they dominate, and I think that's more of a predictable number than shooting percentage. Offensive rebounds, they out-rebounded Golden State. I'm assuming they had more second-chance points. I don't see it in front of me. They limited their turn. I still feel like they had too many turnovers, but I'm kind of a stickler when it comes to that. They turned it over 13 times, leading to just 13 points in this game. So the areas that they controlled in Game 1, they continued to dominate in Game 2. In the areas where they had to be better to win Game 2 and to even the series, they checked every single one of those boxes. It was an impressive bounce-back win for the Houston Rockets.
I think to add to what you said, the one thing that's also going to be a factor that I thought could be a factor within this series is the fact that Golden State has put all their eggs, literally from a financial perspective, in their starting lineup. And if their starting lineup, as it relates to the three veterans in particular with Green, Butler, and Curry, if they go down, one or more of those guys go down, they have real issues because they aren't deep. And they don't trust the guys that they have bringing off the bench. Unlike a young Rockets team that we know has a bevy of talent to kind of choose from, they don't have playoff experience per se, but we know that there's a lot of talent that sits on the bench for the Rockets, and I thought that they were exposed. I thought the fact that you had to play a guy in Kuminga as good as they maybe once thought of him, suddenly he was DNPing for a majority of the last part of the regular season into the playoffs, and you had to throw him into duty along with a bunch of just dudes, that is a recipe for disaster for them, and the Rockets took full advantage, as they should. They were on the attack. They exposed their inability to play defense, move their feet, be athletic. And they really, again, were able to dictate style of play, which was the most important thing other than what you were talking about, is the fact that when they are able to dictate the tempo that they want to play at and they can attack defensively like they were able to do, they have a massive advantage over all but probably a handful of teams in this league.
Yeah, really good bounce back. They hold Golden State to 94 points again, too. So, like, they were good defensively in that game. It helps that Jimmy Butler left the game, their second-best offensive player. But back-to-back games where you hold Golden State to under 100 points, 95 points or less in both of those two games. So, like, your defense is doing what your defense does. So add that into the category of rebounding, offensive rebounding, dominating in the paint, and your defense holding an offense to 95 points or under in both games of the series. The difference is one night they played good offensively, and the other night they did not play good offensively. I think there are two storylines from yesterday's game, and depending on what city you're in might dictate what is 1A and what is 1B. Because the two storylines, in my opinion, other than like the sub-storylines here, Jalen Green dropping nearly a 40-burger on Golden State after he scored 7 points in Game 1, which is an unbelievable ebb and flow from 7 to 38. It's insane for a player of Jalen Green's caliber, although consistency is the knock on him. And then the storyline I think you're probably talking about if you're in a certain part of the Golden State today is the Jimmy Butler injury, and you're probably cursing the name of Amen Thompson today. So, to me, those are the top two stories. Which one do you want to hit first?
You call it. I'm ready on either one. I've got opinions on both. I think you're absolutely right in terms of those are the main storylines coming out. Let's take the second one first. A lot of people are already...
So, I won't call it.
Okay, call it, Jeremy.
No, let's go to the second one first.
I just believe that I'm seeing to the point of saying that Amen Thompson's a dirty player. I mean, I saw Josh Ennis, of all people, tweeting out, I mean, Draymond Green, how dirty can he be shoving Amen Thompson? Look at the replay. In this situation, Draymond didn't do the pushing. It was kind of lost in the shuffle that you've got friendly fire. Steven Adams ends up kind of getting in the middle of a rebounding situation and bumps into Amen after Draymond was kind of yanking on Amen, and Amen was kind of thrusted forward to where he hit Jimmy Butler. I rewound it. I watched it multiple times. I saw what was going on Twitter. If you think that that play right there dictates that Amen Thompson is dirty and that he did that intentionally, then you're an idiot. And if you're an idiot and you're a Golden State fan, then you can fuel your fire with it and you can have your vitriol and your venom and you can point your fingers and boo all you want when the Rockets come rolling in. But he ain't no Draymond Green. He didn't do anything dirty. And that's just one of those unfortunate situations that can happen in sports.
How about the play where he had with Giannis earlier in the year?
with Giannis. And
I think he got ejected when he yanked him down by the neck.
Oh, well, that's behind. I mean, okay, I still don't think he's dirty. I think he's extremely physical. I don't think that he was trying to hurt Giannis. I think a lot of times Draymond's trying to hurt someone. When you're kicking guys in the groin and you're flailing your arm into people's faces and you're doing stuff like that, throwing hard elbows into guys' jaws, I think that the track record is extremely long and it's easy to point a finger.
Is the conversation of men dirty or Draymond dirty?
There's both. From a Rockets perspective, I think the fan base is pointing tons of fingers at Draymond for the antics all night long, and people are putting together reels of everything that he pulled in Game 2 and what was happening in Game 1. I like a men's toughness. I don't think a man backs down to anybody, no matter if he's slight of build or not. I like the fact that he is a very tough player. Even in the Giannis situation, did I feel like it was unnecessary and it was worthy of a flagrant foul? Yes, uh-huh. I did. Did I feel like he should have been ejected? No, I did not. Do I think at the end of the day that he did that trying to hurt Giannis? I do not.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it morphed into a secondary conversation there. Draymond, I absolutely think is filthy dirty. Like, I want to be very clear on that. I thought we were talking to men. Like, Draymond does, like, the little elbow things at every point of the game. Like, Golden State, he comes down the floor, he had the ball in his hands last night, and everybody knows they're calling a timeout. Everybody in the building knows they're calling a timeout. And he brings it to the top of the key, and it gives a man just, like, a little elbow nudge. Like, nothing to do serious damage, but, like, boom, I'm here. Like, that's Bush League. That's a little dirty to me. And then, of course, like, stepping on people's midsection. I mean, we could go down the list of things that Draymond has done where he is dirty. Draymond is absolutely dirty, 100%. Cannot stand him. Terrible to watch. This is what's fun about these playoff series is that you start to hate these players. And I think that Houston fans are there with Draymond. And, of course, there's been a long history with Draymond way prior to this season. So, yes, we're in 100% agreement that Draymond Green is a dirty player. It's his niche. I think he kind of thrives off of it, too. Amen Thompson, I think it's fair to have the conversation. Not from anything he did last night, though, to be very clear. The play where Jimmy Butler got hurt was not a dirty play. I thought that Draymond initially pushed him. Going back and watching the replay, he didn't push him. He's boxing him out, and, like, Amen's trying to get around him, so, like, all his momentum and his force is going forward. And then he trips on his foot and then falls down, and as he's falling down, he clips Jimmy Butler. So what Amen did, yeah, I thought Steve Kerr handled that part of his press conference actually very well. He's like, from what I understand, it was inadvertent contact, Amen Thompson was falling down. That's exactly what happened. Like, Steve Kerr nailed it. Like, nothing from that play by Amen was dirty at all. I didn't see anything from Amen Thompson yet in yesterday's game that was dirty at all. The one play that I would point to this season where Amen Thompson could start to be given that label was that Giannis play. That Giannis play was, I would call that Giannis play dirty.
I mean,
he yanks him down by the neck from behind.
I think.
And got ejected.
Right. I don't think he should have been ejected. And I think that one play, if you go across the league, I think one play, do I think that he was trying to stop a layup? Do I think that he was absolutely trying to prevent him from, was he trying to tackle him and he caught him above the shoulders? Yes. Do I think that makes him a dirty player? I don't. I think there's almost every player in the league that plays consistent minutes is going to have a play or two where whether it was intentionally seeking out that kind of, you know, contact or not, they're going to get that label for a play that happens, whether it was intentional in their mind or not when they were going up to make the play. This stuff happens, right? A lot of guys unintentionally end up catching guys in the grill, and the next thing you know, they're getting thrown out or flagrants. I just don't think he's a dirty player, and I don't think that all this venom that you're seeing from Warriors fans and, oh, my God, is he, you know, he's dirty and this is terrible. I get it. You're all reacting because Jimmy Butler, your second-best player, left the game and now his status is up in the air. I just don't think it makes – I really don't. I don't think it makes Amen Thompson a dirty player.
I think that's fair, too. Like, I think it was a dirty play. Does a single play make a guy dirty? I would say no, to be, like, honest with you, to be on your side of it. I think it takes a series of those type of plays, maybe over a couple of years or in a few years. So I'm not calling Amen Thompson dirty, but I can understand why people would think that when you look back at the Giannis play and then you have the Golden State perspective. Nothing in the Draymond Green play where he pushed – it wouldn't push – where he got – men got tripped on Draymond's foot into Jimmy Butler. That was not dirty. That was accidental. It was unfortunate for Golden State, all of those things. There are some things in Amen Thompson's past where he's going to start being looked at that way. Now, we can have the conversation, like, how many plays does it take to get the label, what is warranted, what is fair, all of those things. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think that one play should define the label of dirty or not. But Amen Thompson's made a couple plays that are borderline dirty. Not in the Golden State game yesterday. Like, people in the text, like, what are you talking? I didn't say that Amen Thompson did anything dirty in yesterday's game. I love Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson's my favorite Houston Rocket. 713-780-ESPN. Lots to get to from this game. It seems like this is going to be a talking point. That's okay. 713-780-3776. A big win for the Rockets yesterday, evening the series. Astros with a sweep over the hated – we hate all things from Canada. They swept the Blue Jays yesterday, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. It is draft day, so we'll dive into that a bit as well. Mark Berman was fired up last night, so Mark Berman's going to be on with us to maybe spew some of his hatred he has for Mark Berman coming up here in a little bit as well. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility. It's annoying sometimes, isn't it? Also comes with unbelievable cost. Well, OwnWell's here to help you with a couple of things. Let them take a little bit of that responsibility off your plate, but also help you with the cost. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it should not be you. Head to OwnWell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes, and their experts will be fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. Put your property taxes back in your savings back in your pocket. Reinvest it. Maybe buy a good birthday present for your colleague. OwnWell handles it all from start to finish, delivers top results, no upfront cost. I'll say it again, only pay if you save. There is no risk. All that you can have here is reward. Here's some numbers. 86% of these OwnWell's customers receive a reduction. The average customer saves over $1,100. What are you waiting for? No risk, all reward, potentially a comma in your savings. Where else are you getting a comma in your savings? OwnWell, that's where. The deadline to protest, May 15th. Don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at OwnWell.com. OwnWell.com. OwnWell.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texters, though, that have won. Well, only one person wins a shirt. Blaine already in Kansas a day early. I don't travel days of games, dude. What happens if travel gets missed? Flights get canceled. Like, I don't travel day of. At least I try not to. Sometimes some situations change. It's not 100% of the time, but I hope to be. But you get a T-shirt if you want it. Next remote. Key from L.A., you're in Kansas. Call Cougar baseball. Game is tomorrow night. Good call, Key. You're just late. And this texture is like 17 minutes late. Branham, you're in Manhattan, Kansas. You're right, but you're late. So no T-shirt for you. Yeah, just kidding. Marketing person will probably give you one. I don't know how these texters are taking this conversation here. Bro, get your eyes checked. Draymond was the reason Butler got hurt. Did we ever suggest that it was a men's fault? Did I suggest that? Did I misspeak?
No, I don't think either one of us did.
No, I don't think – I mean, if anybody did, it was me.
Because I brought up the Giannis play. Josh Innes tweeted out that he thought Draymond did.
Okay. Maybe I'm not giving the texter enough credit. Maybe the texter's talking about other people that said that. It's a ridiculous conversation you're having. Draymond Green is the dirtiest player in the NBA. Amen Thompson is not dirty. I don't think we're comparing the two. I certainly wasn't comparing the two. I agree Draymond Green is dirty. I would say Amen Thompson is not dirty, but there have been a play or two in his, really this season, that you could question it. I'm not including the Jimmy Butler play. I'm talking about plays from earlier in the regular season, but you get Golden State Warrior fans who are hating Amen Thompson today. They're going to go back and dig those things up. I'm not calling Amen Thompson dirty. I'm saying he's done some things that might be dirty in the regular season. At least some people might view it that way from their perspective. It's almost like Padre fans calling Dubon dirty for the collision with Ariz. No doubt, that's a very good comparison. Calling Dubon dirty for the collision with Ariz is very similar to calling Amen dirty for undercutting Butler because he was tripped into him. That's a good call.
I agree. I totally agree. Yep.
One play by one player in one game of the year is meaningless. It was probably payback for something that happened earlier in the game.
Wait. Comparing last night's play or just
comparing him to Draymond is a joke. No one's comparing him to Draymond Green. Like, what are we doing here?
Which one? The previous text.
I think he's talking about the Giannis
play. The Giannis play, that's what I thought. Okay.
Hard foul is different than a cheap shot. I mean, you can go Google the Amin Giannis play and judge for yourself. Like, he hits him in the face and grabs him by the neck from behind and yanks him down. Like, is that a hard foul or is that a cheap shot? I guess it's relative. I guess it depends on who you ask. And I like tough physical play. We know this about me. If you think Jimmy getting hurt was a dirty play, you're nuts. It was clearly unintentional on everyone's part. Hard agree. Couldn't agree with you more, Texter.
Yeah, I, by the way, the Ryan Hollins comment when Butler went down reminded me of you immediately. I don't know if you caught it or not.
I was watching
you're watching
Brian Anderson, SVG, yeah, SVG's voice is tough to take. I think he provides some good analysis. I know Rocket fans were critical of him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think he's pretty good with what he provides, but his voice is a hard listen.
It gets raspier as the game goes
along. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I love Brian Anderson.
What did Hollins say?
Hollins said, obviously, you know, basically, you know, the thoughts and prayers type line, and we really hope Jimmy gets better by the end of the after the end of the series. And I was like, yep.
Oh, wow.
Jeremy might be on board with that exact same comment.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to bring it up. Like, do you care if Jimmy Butler misses the rest of the series? 713-780-ESPN.
Rocket fans are going to line up and answer that one.
Like,
one
I mean,
way.
He walked off the floor. I'm not worried about him being paralyzed.
He's going to play.
It's tough to tell. Obviously, it's tough to tell right now because, like, we don't really have tons of information. I listened to the entire, like, all of the post-game stuff, like, from both teams. And the encouraging signs, he got up and walked off the floor. The encouraging sign is that he had an x-ray and it came back good. So, like, you would think that if there was something that happened, there would have been a break, right? Like, maybe, like, a crack in the bone. Like what is the MRI going to show? I wonder. Like,
yeah.
A severe inflammation?
I think the most part is anybody that's had an injury anywhere close to that realizes tailbone, or if they're going to make it a pelvic injury or however they label it, it's just how much pain did he endure and how much can you play through? Because I don't think, like you said, I don't think there's a structural issue unless they're looking to see if, like, he tore. How would you tear something just because you landed on the floor?
Did he tear his derriere?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. I know that that's their way of just kind of hoping people put it on the back burner until they want to release something. And they're probably trying gamesmanship to draw this out a little bit. But I fully expect that he's going to play.
Based on what, though?
Because of the fact that when those injuries happen, and because it's the playoffs, and because he has a propensity in the playoffs to kind of be tough, fight through injury, tough it out, and he knows as well as anybody how important he is to that team.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play.
Listen, we're totally guessing. Like, I would guess he's probably going to play too. Listening to the postgame, though, they talked a lot about not having him and, like, what it would look like. Like, and most of it came from, like, the media and stuff. But they were fielding the questions. Like, Steve Kerr was like, well, you know, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and we're going to have to figure out rotations. Like, the way they were talking was almost like they're not expecting Butler. Like, it's – and again, we have very little information, so, like, we're like reading into every single tea leaf here. But it was kind of cryptic a little bit.
I would say that it's all, you know, gamesmanship in the playoffs is ramped up just like everything else, and I'm sure that they're going to be guarded in what they say. Draymond isn't, and Draymond came out and said he told me he's good. He's never given me any reason not to believe him. If he tells me he's good, I expect him to play next game, and I think that's what, again, leads me to believe even more so than my own personal feeling.
Yeah, but Draymond also said he would say that no matter what.
Okay. I also believe that the scenario would be different even last night if they had lost game one and they knew that they really had to try and get game two, that I believe that there was a chance he would come back even last night. I think the fact that they were playing with house money after already regaining the home court, I think that they basically took every precaution because of it. I think the scenario changes if they're down 0-1 and he goes down at that point in game two.
But you're also making the assumption that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I
you know what I mean? Like we're operating from very little information. Like if the MRI comes back, like a texter just said, hairline fractures don't always show up on an X-ray. MRI, it does. Thank you for that information. Like I didn't really realize that. Kyle Tucker would be a good thing. Like if he comes back with a crack in his hip bone because he's 52 years old, oh, different story. Like we're operating from very little information. Like it's a very tough place to try to predict if he's going to play or not with the information that we have. 713-780-ESPN. He's just trying to fit in with the rest of that butthurt city. Okay. All right. I like that. Now you know it's some playoff basketball here. Texter, hope that Jimmy has a healthy next season. There you go. Hopefully Jimmy will get plenty of time to enjoy a visit to his hometown of Tomball. There you go. Maybe he can stop by that Tejas chocolate barbecue place. That's very good. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in the Hive with the Bees. Do we care if Butler plays the rest of the series or not?
Actually, I don't. Jimmy Butler can, go away as far as I'm concerned. If he does come back, he may be limited, but, I'm not going to miss him. Matter of fact, I'm waiting for him to try to get out of Golden State next year. So no big deal. I'm sure the media will, of course, will say, well, the Rockets won because Jimmy Butler wasn't playing anything. But regardless, it was a bad fall, but, hey, I'm not missing him. So, sorry, Jimmy, I'm out.
Rack him. Oh, rack Pete. Give him a rack.
Let's
give
him
what did, Romy give him? He would give him the mic stickers. What did he call it?
Brian probably knows. It was a tongue, wasn't it?
He gave him the tongue. Yeah, they're like the helmet decals.
Yeah.
Give Pete a tongue. Pete just got the first ever Killer Bee tongue. He dropped the eye. Thanks for the vine. Look at Pete going a little van smack. My guy. He didn't want Jimmy Butler. Yeah. I mean, the text line, I haven't seen one person that says they want Jimmy Butler to play the rest of the series. Rockets still winning the series in six, regardless if Butler returns rest of the series. Another texture, I had this injury in college. Even if he plays, he won't be 100%. Took me 2 to 3 weeks in college to recover from a butt bone contusion. We don't even know what he has. I mean, it's pretty clear he has a – bruised butt.
Right.
At the very minimum, it's probably a little dinged up. Astro doctors report that Jimmy Butler has a bone bruise, so he can be out anywhere from 30 minutes to 4 months. Astro doctors catching strays.
Well, that's why I dropped the Kyle Tucker line, because that's what we've heard and that's what we have seen it turn into. So everything is on the table for how long he could be out.
If we hear anybody say discomfort, we'll know he's done for the series.
He's out. He's done. This is karma for Jimmy leaving Miami the way he did. Ooh, okay. Even Kerr said it was not intentional, it was not dirty, so I don't know why we're making all this noise. No one here thinks it was dirty. What have been Thompson in that play where Jimmy Butler got injured?
If you look at social media, Warriors fans sure do.
Well, I mean, like, the Jimmy Butler Muse accounts are tweeting that. What do you expect? Like, Steph Curry is the best player ever, 1, 2, 3, 4 on Twitter. Yeah, he's saying that Amin Thompson is dirty. Like, why do we give those people credence?
I mean, I'm just saying, you brought it up too. We see it all the time. We see what's out there. We see the fact that there's people.
Did I bring up that it was dirty? I thought I brought
no,
up just
no, no,
like
no, that
him
Warriors
going
fans
out.
Thought it was dirty.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Jimmy Butler Muse. Oh, Amin Thompson's the dirtiest player ever. Steph Curry Muse. Oh, Amin Thompson dove for his legs. Like, why are we, like, why do we engage with those people? Like, not you and I. I'm not talking, like, specifically us. Like, why do y'all engage with those people? Why do y'all do it? Like, I don't, like, what do you expect them to say? Their account shows their opinion before you even look at anything they have to say.
Yeah, it's, I mean, but again, this is where we're at. This is how fans have a closer way to communicate with one another and vent and attack and, show their love for their team while you know, screaming for the injustices of sports.
Jimmy Burt hurt. Okay, I'm done. Steve Kerr is more butthurt than Jimmy. Warriors fans think Durant was inbounds in 19. Robert and Dumball. Oh, man. You guys are on one today. I love it. I love what I'm seeing. All right, let's what do I do here? Yeah, let's go ahead and play this before we get to Berman, because it kind of segues into what Berman's going to talk about. The crowd yesterday in Houston was very similar to our text line today, which I love. They were on fire. They were chanting at Draymond Green. They were praising him. They were saying, you know, you've had a great career. They had a lot to say to Draymond. We know what the chant was. Here's crybaby Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors. After the he was not even asked about the chant. Let me set that up by telling you, he was not even asked about the chant. He took it upon himself to go into, I wouldn't call it a rant because it wasn't that long, but he took it upon himself to bring it up without being asked. And this clip you're going to listen to is like two or three different answers from two or three different questions, but they all pertain to the chant that the Toyota Center was praising Draymond Green with last night.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F you, Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's, he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod. And that's all part of it. I would prefer, you know, if fans could use a little more discretion and, you know, remember that, you know, the guy has kids and, you know,
kids.
Like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I just think F you is, it's a little much.
He dropped his kids.
I mean,
his kids.
Steve Kerr never played an era in the NBA when a referee made a bad call and they started chanting BS throughout the arena. I mean, is it just the F-bomb, or is it that he just forgets how many times arenas have done this? I mean, Draymond even referenced it and said, be original. The Boston fans did that to me and we won a championship in Boston. Okay, so it doesn't seem like he's bothered or worried about his kids.
Yeah, we were going to hear from Draymond here in a little bit, but you kind of spoiled it there a little
Sorry.
Bit.
Sorry, I didn't know we were having Berman on, but I'm good.
I mean, it's in the rundown. But anyways, the kid mention, to talking about Draymond Green, like he has kids. What has Draymond Green done in his career that would be an excellent role model to his children? And look, maybe Draymond Green off the court is a wonderful father, the best dad in the world. I have no idea. I have no idea. But what is being chanted in a visiting arena the 48 minutes during the game, and then you look at what Draymond Green does in 48 minutes over a bunch of games over the course of his career, how could you have this high horse, glass house, pretentious opinion? Think of Draymond Green's kids. Do you see what Draymond Green does on the floor? How are you using that as a piece of evidence as to why that should not be chanted in an arena?
No, I was thinking very, very same things. I mean, the difference between a raucous visiting crowd chanting something like that or kicking some guy in the genitals multiple times in different scenarios.
Or punching his own teammate.
I mean, or the whole Nurkic thing where he's trying to soft sell that he's trying to get post position and taking a reverse haymaker to the guy's jaw. There's just so many different instances where, like we talk about, you want to talk about dirty. Well, when you can line up a laundry list that probably gets to double digits quite quickly about how many incidents this guy's had, he's a modern day Dennis Rodman, maybe with a little more athletic, I mean, offensive ability, but at the same time, this is his ammo. Steve Kerr even admitted it, that this is part of, he's an instigator. Yeah, and part of being an instigator in his mind is taking it too far. So now suddenly our crowd is taking it too far?
Steve Kerr cussed once upon a time at a press conference, later apologized to his mother. I'm sure that he's had a few expletives that have left his mouth during the course of a game that had probably been within earshot of children. And I imagine Draymond's kids, if they're at the game, they sit pretty close to the bench. I'm just guessing. I don't know that for sure. I don't know where the family seating is for NBA teams. But, like, the pretentious we are holier than thou whenever your actions in the past, whether it's yours, Steve Kerr, or Draymond Green's, who hasn't exactly been this excellent role model when it comes to playing the game the right way. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're kind of gaslighting everybody. I didn't like that at all from Steve Kerr. And maybe the worst part of it is that he went into it on his own. Like, if you get asked the question, you give your opinion, okay, it's your opinion, I can disagree with it, and I'm probably saying the same stuff I'm saying right now, but for you to do it on your own, it makes it even worse to me. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Dave, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I just want to give a different angle to that, and I'm a Rockets fan in the whole nine, but I don't know if you guys remember, you know, and he may be very sensitive about this, because Steve Kerr's father was killed, I want to say overseas somewhere, and when he was playing in Arizona, they went and played some college, I don't know if it was New Mexico State, who it was, and they chanted like stupid, "Your Steve Kerr, dad's dead," or something stupid like that. And that would explain if he's more sensitive about that. And that's just one of my takes. I remember the stupidity of the fans chanting, "Steve Kerr's dad is dead."
Yeah, well, and obviously in college arenas, there's been plenty of incidents where it's tasteless and the kids go too far. But, I mean, you know, the fact that this has happened previously, this happens across the league, but it's happening to a guy that kind of loves it and kind of deserves it because he's asking for it in a lot of ways. You know, if Steve's upset by the F-bomb, okay, sorry, not sorry, but it's not the first time you've heard it. Did you do this in Boston? I don't remember, but if you did, it's not going to change it. It's probably going to just they're going to do it more now.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Dave. I had forgotten about that. Maybe it does, you know, hit a little closer to home for him than we really understand. So that's a good point. Maybe it brings some context to it. I still don't love it. Still don't like what he had to say. Don't love that he kind of went to it on his own either. But it perhaps does add some context as to why Steve Kerr would have that opinion. I remember that it happened, but I really forgot about it until Dave brought it up. Malcolm Kerr was his father. He was the professor of American University of Beirut. And he lived there, you know, because he was the president of American University of Beirut. And he was killed by a couple of gunmen.
Yeah, I believe it was an attack on the embassy there in Beirut. But I remember seeing a documentary on it. And I know that they've done documentaries and stories about how he and his mom got word and how they reacted and all the different things that went through. A very, very sad situation.
Yeah, so maybe you're right, Dave. Maybe that is part of the reason. Still don't like what he said, though. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Adrian, you're in the Hive. What's up, Adrian?
Adrian, let's go.
All right. Lamont, I can only imagine how Jordan viewed Steve Kerr. I bet he had to sit in the front of the plane charter away from the team. Kerr definitely has a punchable face, and he spent the entire game yesterday griping at the officials, because you know why I think? I think he knows that his team has no chance to match the toughness and the physical nature of the Houston Rockets, and his only chance in this series is to try to diminish that by getting a very tight whistle. I think that's why he was on the refs from the moment go, because I actually think the Rockets got a bad whistle. I feel like a lot of the 50-50 calls went against Houston, in fact.
Well, I think early in the game, too, especially when he knew they were taking it to him, he was going nuts on every single call, to your point. Even after the timeout, what are we doing here? And he's chasing guys around. He forgets that they didn't call the technical, the double tech on Draymond and Brooks when they should have, because if they did, Draymond might not even be in the game. And you're right in the fact that I mentioned before the series even started, he's already going to his old coach's antics, Phil Jackson, and he's already lobbying to get the officials to call a tight whistle in the series by saying, "Have we seen how Steph is just unfairly grabbed on every pick and every contact?" Because that's what Phil Jackson used to do, and the very next game after he did it, he normally would get the referees to call the game that he wanted it called. It just hasn't worked this time.
Yeah, a few, like I thought it was a fair whistle, but a couple of the 50-50 calls, like, good with the Rockets' way. You had the Draymond Dillon Brooks play that you mentioned. The Dillon Brooks three-point attempt where they called him for the offensive foul for sticking his leg out was pretty borderline. The Draymond Amin collision in the first quarter was pretty borderline, too. Like, I didn't think it was a poorly officiated game one way. I thought there were a lot of 50-50 calls that Golden State actually got the benefit of.
I didn't think Jaylen deserved the flagrant. He never hit him. I think he wanted to, like, give the impression that he was pushing through like that. But when you looked at the replay from the backside, someone, maybe it was someone's cell phone, too, that was sitting on the baseline, I don't believe that there was contact ever made. And Draymond actually got the hit by sniper reaction on a tape delay because he waited till a couple seconds later and then went down.
I think that there was contact there. It was very, very minor. I definitely think it was intentional, though. Like, Jaylen shouldn't have done that. And Draymond definitely oversold it. Draymond very much embellished it. Mm-hmm. But Draymond did that so he'd get the call, and it worked.
I
thought Jaylen was in the wrong there.
Yeah, Jaylen and Tari need to learn from what they did last night and not do it again.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Adrian, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to chime in on Steve Kerr's comments about Draymond Green, people and saying that the Houston fans need to remember that he has kids. I think Draymond Green needs to remember that he has kids. I don't think Steve Kerr should throw the responsibility on the Houston fans. I mean, if you're a controversial character in the media and you do stupid things, there's going to be repercussions in your personal life. You know, it's no different in politics than anything else. It's just that it was a really foolish comment for him to make, especially the way Draymond Green plays and what he's known for in the NBA, and I'll let you guys talk about it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, Adrian. No, I think we covered that. I think we're in agreement. It's just, you know, from the standpoint of should he have brought it up? No. If he was asked about it, you're right, Jeremy, it's a different story. Then address it. Go ahead. But the fact that unsolicited, especially with everything, the success you've had, the fact that you admit that this is what the guy does, that's part of his ammo, he's an instigator. And sometimes this is, especially on the road, that these things are going to happen, and it's not the first time you've been through it. Get over it.
713-780-ESP. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Chuck, you're in the Hive. Chuck, what's going on?
What's going on, Jeremy? What's going on, Joel?
What's up, Chuck?
How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
I know, man. I just had to say, man, this is what it looks like when a dynasty falls apart. They ain't got no talent, and they're old. And this is, if the Rockets just keep their heads and put that pressure on them, they're going to fold like a cheap cat. And I wouldn't mind somebody off the bench taking a swipe at Draymond anyway. I don't give a. Y'all have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to hear from you. I don't think that they lack talent. I do believe that they still have guys that can play.
They're ancient, though. They're old.
Yeah, and they're still damn good.
I mean, 7 seed.
Okay. Just you keep saying that, and I'll back it up.
They haven't won a final since 2022. What have they done? What have they done for me lately?
Yeah,
what do you always say, Janet Jackson or whatever?
Yeah. And they made the trade for Butler because they couldn't regain all the ground that they had lost. But the Butler trade gives them another very good player and that's why you got to be careful, because now with the home court switching to Golden State to San Francisco for two games. I mean, the Rockets, again, as much as they had to experience what playoff basketball was like on their home floor, now they're going to catch all of it and more. And everything that we're talking about is going to be completely reversed, because now the Rockets are going to have to take all the jeering and all the, you know, the crowd come and the atmosphere. And let's see how they take the punch as well, because it's going to be another challenge for this team.
They don't have to worry about Jimmy. He's got a broke back, 7-1 spinal, 713-780-ESPN. Mark Berman, he's going to sound off on Draymond Green. We'll see if we can push him into getting angry. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Being joined by the legendary Mark Berman on the HRMP guest line. Rockets win yesterday, beat the Warriors by 15, even the series, drama. physical play, chippiness, all of that. And Mark Berman was annoyed by Draymond Green, at least according to your Twitter here, Mark. I'm just reading through it here. Draymond Green works very hard at being a jack. I can't say it. Steve Kerr would be mad at me. Rocket fans let him know what they think. Of course, he thrives on that crap. TNT highlighting Draymond Green being a jack. I see that's your go-to word there, Berman. And then Draymond Green with one of the worst all-time flops, and still Jalen Green still hit with a flagrant. How do you feel about Draymond Green, Mark?
Well, I mean, first of all, I respect him as a player. I don't respect him as a human being. Does anybody in Houston that cares about the Rockets respect, or anybody in America respect, except people in the Bay Area, respect the way he acts out there? I mean, my goodness. The guy's it's a fight looking for a place to happen. TNT, the guy said, one of the color analysts said, if there's not a fight in this series, it'll be the biggest upset of the playoffs. I mean, Draymond Green is a 100% jerk. Now that I'm not working, I can say and tweet whatever I want. And so there you go. I mean,
that's what
Joel,
I wanted.
Am I right? Joel, am I right?
No, Berman, jerk? I love it. I mean, we were guarded the first time. Let's just go unhinged. I love it.
Well, I mean, that's a fact. I mean, Draymond Green makes $25 million a year to be unhinged. I can be unhinged and make nothing.
But, Scoop, you've been through enough of this. With the Pat Beverly when you were on the side of it, or the Barkley when they finally got him and everybody hated him till they got him and then they loved him. The fact of the matter is Steve Kerr in the post-game show, unsolicited, bringing it up, we were just talking about it, and then complaining about it, is like, and then saying he's going to ride with Draymond for the rest of his career and always be there for him. It basically says what we've always said, which is there's not a team in the league that's sending you a Christmas card, but your fans are going to send you more than you'll ever need because they love it. Your coach does the same thing, but then don't bitch about it.
Well, that's exactly, my daughter, who's a Rockets, Houston sports fanatic, was complaining that Steve Kerr was defending Draymond Green. I said, what do you expect him to do? He's going to ride with him. Are you kidding me? I mean, my goodness. All the stuff that Chuck did all those years,
yep.
We didn't like it when he was wearing another uniform, although I got a big kick out of it when the Rockets were playing the Phoenix Suns. He was fun to cover. But once he comes on your side, you're all over it, I mean, but listen, you watch Draymond. Come on. The guy tries to create a fight like every other play. And he's pushing guys and elbowing them and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And he gets away with a lot of it. He gets caught a lot, too. But you know what's crazy? Joel, tell me, you got Jeremy, y'all tell me if I'm wrong. In 10 years, is he going to be in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame? Probably so, right?
Yeah, I cringe at that because I just don't like it. But you're right. I mean, we've had the conversation. I personally think he will get in. I just don't really care for it.
Well, yeah, because he's got four rings. Now, I think Robert Horry probably should be in. He's got seven. Rudy's campaigned for him for years. Does Robert Horry belong in the Hall of Fame?
I have said no, and I will stay with my opinion that I said
a guy that
averages 9 points a night does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame just because he was on the right place in the right place at the right time.
Well, it's a fair statement because would the Rockets and the Lakers and the Spurs have won those championships without him? The answer is probably yes. Would the Warriors have won their championships with just the splash guys not having him? What do you think about that? The answer might be no.
You're right. It might be.
Berman, why are you conducting this interview? What, you're
My
the
bad.
Guest. We asked the questions here, Berman. I see what you're doing here. You tried to flip it on us. Well done. You had it going for a little while, but I'm going to turn the tables right back on you. What do you make of Steve Kerr saying, think of Draymond's kids, about the FU chant?
That was embarrassing. It reminds me of, I'm going to want to use the pitcher's name, but it reminds me of this Astros pitcher who left here, went to another team, and then when he left that team after 1 year to make a whole lot more money, he said, I'm going there because of the school system for my kids. That was laughable. Yes, he's got kids. Give me a break. I mean, that was pitiful.
You're not on the air anymore. You can air it out. You can, I mean, unhinged. Throw the name out.
Nah. Steve's got to be, because I might be misremembering it quite a little bit. My memory's not great. Steve Kerr's got to be bigger than that. He's got to come up with a better excuse to defend his player than talk about his kids. I thought Rockets fans were fantastic last night with what they were chanting. We can't say it on the radio, obviously.
We just wouldn't invite you back.
That's true. But I got a big kick out of it. But I'm just sitting there tweeting for fun. and I'm watching Draymond be a jackass.
You can say that. You're good. You're all right. You're good with that
I thought y'all couldn't say that. So
no, you can say that one now. It's 2025.
I wanted to call him a schmuck, but I decided not to use that word. So I used what I used. But, you know, but fans got a big kick out of it, you know. So that's what it's all about.
Hey, Mark, look, from a Rockets perspective, though, looking back at it, is it better that it happened early in the series? Because you can talk about it. You can be about it. You can say we're ready for it. We know what to expect from it. But the fact that until you go through it yet again and realize he is going to continue to do this, and he does it as frequently as you talked about, is it almost a blessing that it happened early in the series so now it gets easier and easier to deal with and tolerate?
I suppose so, but it just depends on how the refs call it. Let me ask you guys, just flip the tables back. Do they win last night if Jimmy Butler doesn't go out?
I still think that they do. I think that they split, but I thought that they would split before the series started. I actually thought they were going to lose game two, but you know, I threw it out to Jeremy. If they lost game one, is there a chance he comes back last night? Because I think there is.
You said if the Rockets lost game one,
if the Warriors had lost game one, I think the sense of urgency might have pushed the buttons to see if he could come back last night because they didn't want to go down 0-2.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. It looked to me like the defense on Steph Curry last night was pretty good.
Yeah.
Looked like he wasn't getting the looks that he normally gets. But anyway, I think the Rockets played well. They had to win, right? It's close to a must-win as it gets. But it's going to be tough out there on the West Coast.
Hey, Mark, Blankers and I, sometimes we disagree on things. Very, very, very seldomly. We usually
almost
99.9% of the time.
Who disagrees? Blanker,
Joel and I. I call them Blankers because we have that kind of bond. Whenever we fight, could you be our mediator?
Sure, but I'm not pro bono.
Well, it's pro no-no then.
Right. I'm tired of working for free.
You enjoyed this. You're asking questions to us. You're hanging out with the boys. This is probably more sports talk you've had in months.
That's true. I'm sitting outside of Home Depot about to go run some errands for my wife.
Okay. So we'll let you go. What are you building?
Get those honeydews
done. Do it yourself or what?
Sure. Are you kidding me? My wife's the handy person. I can't do anything. I'm just going in there to check on some stuff.
You're just the errand boy. You get what you need.
That's exactly right. That's what you do when you're retired.
That's a good husband, though, Mark. Thank you for hopping on, and thank you for getting your wife what she needs at Home Depot. I hope everything goes well with the do-it-yourself that you got going.
Why didn't we discuss the Astro Sweep of Toronto?
What do you want to say about it?
I think it was pretty good.
Well, that's why we didn't ask you, because that's all you got.
Yeah, that's the kind of detail that we didn't need.
Yeah, we got 3 hours here, Berman. We can eat a little bit more than that.
You need me to be more edgy, right?
yeah, like... You know, what you had to say about Draymond. That was perfect.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, Mark.
Good to hear from you, buddy.
See you, bye.
Oh, Mark's the best.
He is.
I love Mark.
He always decides, see you, bye.
He's trying to get a check. He's trying to get us to pay him.
He's working around McLean too much.
He hasn't seen our books. All right, 713. Real quick here, Texans made a trade. Now, it's not impactful. Texans trade a 2025 fifth, 166 overall, a 2027 fifth to the Browns, and they get a 2025 sixth, which is pick 179, another sixth this year, which is pick 216, and a future seventh. Actually, it's this year's seventh. So the Texans have added three picks today. They gave up one, so they're plus two, and they gave up a seventh. So they gave up pick 166, a future fifth. They acquired pick 179, pick 216, pick 255. 2 6 and a seventh. So, why does Nick do that? I think so he can just say he made a trade. He must have a trade bonus. You know how some of these coaches they get like bonuses for like if they win 10 games, it triggers a 25K bonus. They get to the playoffs, 25K bonus. I think Nick Caserio has a 1K per trade bonus in his contract.
This is like when you speak it to reality, because Daryl Morey, everybody used to say he had to make a move, and then Daryl would get hyper-focused and motivated that he had to make a move every year too. It's like some guys are just driven by, and I'm not saying Casario's like that, but it's like, this to me is a nothing burger. I was like, okay, great. I was expecting a lot more when I heard Texans made a trade, but
yeah,
all right.
Well, I mean, maybe it's to get more picks to try to do something else. Kucera is always playing chess, not checkers, you know. Maybe this is moving the pawn to create some room for the bishop. We'll see. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the second storyline from yesterday's game. Jalen Green and the near 40 burger he had against the Warriors. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.